Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining the National MS Society Home Base Employment, What You Need to Know. Your host, Kathy Goff, will begin.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Kathy Goff, and I'm Director of Chapter Programs with the Greater Carolinas Chapter in Raleigh, North Carolina. I would like to welcome all of you to our third call in the 2014 Employment Teleconference Series, Home-Based Employment, What You Need to Know. We would like to start off by thanking Accorda for their sponsorship of the series. Joining me as host on the call this evening are Barbara McCann, Director of Employment Programs and Services at the New York City Southern New York Chapter, Christina Forrester, Employment Services Manager with the Greater Delaware Valley Chapter in Philadelphia, and Steve Nissen, Senior Director of Employment Programs with the National Capital Chapter in D.C. Please know that this evening's call will be recorded and available to you at the end of the series. Tonight's topic, home-based employment, what you need to know, is a very important and popular one. We hear from many of our members that they would prefer to work at home for a variety of reasons, but there are a lot of things to consider. Working from home definitely can have its benefits, but also challenges. Tonight, you will hear from people who have been successful in securing home-based employment and what they have learned from that experience. You will also learn about resources available to help if this work arrangement is something you decide to pursue. After our speakers have completed their presentations, there will be a time for your questions. Please jot down your questions you have during the call so you are prepared to ask them during the Q&A period. Be sure to ask your question completely, as we will be muting your line once your question is asked in order to allow us to answer as many questions as possible. We will do our best to get to all of your questions. However, due to time limitations, we may not be able to get to all of them. We encourage you to call 1-800-344-4867 for more information. I will provide you with this number towards the end of the call. At the conclusion of tonight's call, we will be polling the audience in an effort to evaluate this program. There is a short survey of only 6 questions. If possible, please stay on the line until the conclusion of the program to answer the questions. We are always interested in your feedback. This evening, our guide is Barbara McCann. She is the Director of Employment Programs and Services at the New York City Southern New York Chapter of the National MS Society. Before coming to the MS Society, Barbara worked as Director of Employment Services for the Epilepsy Institute and as Senior Rehabilitation Counselor at the International Center for the Disabled. Prior to her work in rehabilitation, Barbara worked as an executive recruiter and teacher of the deaf. She is a certified rehabilitation counselor and a licensed mental health counselor. She has presented at numerous workshops and conferences on employment issues for people with MS, as well as other neurological conditions. At this time, I'll turn the call over to Barbara.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you all for joining us tonight. As we have a lot we want to accomplish this evening, I may be speaking quickly, so if you miss any of what is said, as Kathy mentioned earlier, we're taping the call and we can send you a link to the recording to listen again at a more leisurely pace. That said, I wanted to start the presentation by focusing on the materials we sent to you via email last week and this week. So if for some reason you did not receive them, please email Steve, S-T-E-V-E, dot Nissen, N-I-S-S-E-N, that's Steve dot Nissen, at nmss.org, as he's standing by right now to send them out to whomever still does not have them. And again, that's Steve.Nissen, N-I-S-S-E-N, at nmss.org. But for those of you who have them, you could pull them up on your computer. That would be great, because we are going to be reviewing them. So now I'm guessing that many of you on the call are not working and are looking for home-based employment, either full-time or to perhaps supplement your Social Security. However, there may be others on the call who are currently working and because of their MS symptoms either need to or would like to work from home. So I'm going to address this group first. Among the materials that we sent prior to the call, we included a document called Convincing Your Boss to Let You Work from Home. This was adapted from a chapter in a book called Work at Home Now by Christine Durst and Michael Herron, who are the founders of Staffcentrics and manage the website Rat Race Rebellion, which I will talk about later. And this document will walk you through the process of making a case to work from home with your boss. So if that's something you're looking to do, this is a really helpful document. It's important that you know that you have a right to ask to work from home as a reasonable accommodation, provided you can substantiate the need with a backup documentation from your neurologist as to how it's important or necessary to work from home because of your MS. And it also needs to be a situation that would work for your employer in terms of your job description and duties. So clearly, if you're a supervisor and need to be on site to supervise, this may not be an option for you. However, we for those of you that could do this, we really recommend before deciding to leave a job, perhaps because the commute is too much, to explore this option with your employer. Particularly if you feel you may need to leave anyway, then you really have nothing to lose. During our presentation, you're going to hear from several people who are or have been working in home-based employment who will give you tips on what has and has not worked for them and speak to the realities of home-based employment as well as the pros and cons of this kind of work. But before they share their stories, I just want to walk you through some things that you can do for yourself to help with the goal of home-based employment. For those of you who are not working and are looking to work from home, the first thing you need to do is learn everything you can about what you'll need to be successful as a home-based worker. You've taken that first step tonight by listening to this call. But you can also check out what it's like to work, the link that we have in the document we sent that says what it's like to work from home. And that link will give you some information on what it is like to work from home, and it'll help you try to figure out if this is something that you really want to do or if it will work for you. There's also an online assessment in the document that you can take if you have the basic to see if you have the basic traits and environment to work from home. So those are two links that we would suggest you look at. And once you've done that, you need to find out if you have the right skills for the jobs that you're interested in. So we've included links to some testing sites for things like typing speed, which is often asked for, as well as some basic Microsoft Office program tests to see what you know and what you may need some additional training or practice with. If you need training, there are a number of free online trainings, particularly for Microsoft Office programs, that you can take advantage of. We sent a number of these links for these trainings in a follow-up email, but if you did not get them for some reason, check with someone at your chapter and we'll make sure that they get forwarded to you. Also, let's say you need a computer and that's what may be holding you back from considering home-based employment. Check with your chapter, as many chapters have programs or know of resources where you may be able to get one. Another way to obtain training and equipment would be through your Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. However, this may be a more difficult, as you would need to be able to show how you could really be successful in a particular field. So like if you had strong past experiences in customer service, and you can show that you have strong skills in whatever area you're looking for. If you could, you would also need to be able to go in for testing because they probably would want to do an evaluation, and you definitely would need to go into their offices for an initial appointment, and you may have to wait several months to get an initial appointment to see a counselor. But all that said, if you could do all of the above, they may be willing to send you for training and provide you with a computer or technology that you might need to succeed working from home. So it's definitely something for you to keep in mind. And your chapter, your local chapter, should have information on how you can find your local VR office. So once you've determined if home-based employment is right for you and that you have the basic personality, the skills, the tools necessary to succeed, the remainder of the information in this document can be helpful in terms of the services and resources that are out there. Now, there are various types of jobs that you can do from home. And by the way, you should not have to pay anyone for these positions. If someone's asking for a fee, that is a clue that it's most likely not legitimate. Most common home-based positions are for call center jobs, which require computer and customer service skills. And let's say you're interested in customer service-based jobs but do not have this experience. I would recommend working with your chapter to perhaps do some calls from home for walk or other events, or check out volunteermatch.com. That has thousands of listings for virtual volunteer work where you can get customer service experience working from home, as well as other kinds of experience such as working with children, marketing, fundraising, virtual assistant, just to name a few. Anything you can do virtually as a volunteer most often can translate into work you would do in a paid work-from-home position. It also lets you see if you have what it takes to do this kind of work. Let's say you have now about 6 months of volunteer experience under your belt. You can then put that on your resume to increase your chances of obtaining a job in whatever area you've now gained experience in. There are also jobs that do not require phone work, that are part-time and less demanding and allow you to work at your own pace, but you get paid only for what you do. So one example of this is a search engine evaluator. And again, these are on the document that we did send to you. Basically, this is a person who evaluates search engine results to determine if they're relevant or not to the term typed in. And this is just one way that major search engines ensure that when you type something into search, you find what you're hoping to find. So, for example, if you were doing a search on, let's say, the Atlanta Braves, hopefully their official website would show up either at the top or near the top of the results. That's because that's probably the most relevant result out there. Other sites like personal blogs about the Braves or news stories involving them would also be relevant, but not quite as much as the official site. And a result that was about soccer would, of course, not be relevant at all. So these are the kinds of things you would be looking for as a search engine evaluator. And here are some of the pros and cons of positions like a search engine evaluator. So pros would be that as long as there's work, you can work whenever you want. There's no set schedule that asks you to work a minimum of 10 hours, no more than 20. They keep track of your hours and invoice payments to you. Some of the cons, sometimes there's not always work available. You only get paid once a month, and it's on a month's delay. There's no communication with management. So if you're doing a task wrong, you don't know it until later. A report will tell you how many you did incorrectly, but it won't tell you which ones or why. However, most tasks come with guidelines that give you a general idea on how to work that specific task. Realize that this is a freelance, independent contracting position, so no taxes would be taken out of your paycheck. This can be pro or con depending on how you look at it. What would be wise is to set aside about 30% of every paycheck in a savings account that you wouldn't touch to make sure when taxes come around next year, you'll have all that set aside and ready. There are other types of researching jobs listed in the document we sent, as well as some that need people who are fluent in foreign languages. The Rat Race Rebellion website that we have listed also lists screened job leads every day and has various resources on different potential employers for various industries. It's a good resource for those beginning to explore working from home. Now, for those of you on Social Security, if you feel you would be willing to go off Social Security, if you were able to find a steady source of home-based employment, then I have with us on the call this evening Paula Vieh, president and founder of My Employment Options, who will briefly share what her company does and how they may be of assistance. Paula, I'll pass it on to you.
Hi, again, my name is Paula, and I'm president of MyEmploymentOptions.com. And what we are is we're an employment network under the Social Security Ticket to Work program. And what that is a voluntary program for people who are disabled and currently receiving SSI, not SSI retirement, or SSDI. Now, the Ticket to Work program is only available to people who are currently receiving disability, not people who are in the process of applying for it. Unfortunately, that's what this program is. Now, we have been in business since 1993 and have been doing Ticket to Work since 2002, and we're a fairly large employment network. We have like 5 work-at-home counselors, and we work with some of the very largest call center operations in the United States. We recently had a job fair, and we had 14 employers there, including American Express and Convergys. And the good thing about our relationship with these employers is because we pre-screen applicants for them, and they follow up with us, and they let us know, for example, if you're you know how you did on the test, or why they can't consider you, or what went wrong. So we get some information. So sometimes when you're applying on your own to these places, you never know why you never got hired, and we're able to coach you. And every person that comes on board with us, you know, gets a private counselor, their own counselor, to walk them through the processes. So we only take people that we think are going to make it. The jobs that we look for require that, most of them require that you train full time. We've got a new employer that will allow part-time training. Most of the positions have set hours. We do have one employer that the hours can be a little bit more varied, but the problem is that you still have to be able to go through the training, which has set hours. So we're not for everybody, but for the people that we can help, we will help you with your Social Security, understanding how your Social Security benefits will be affected. It's a voluntary program, and we helped over 400 people get back to work last year, so I'm proud of that.
Well, that's terrific. That really is terrific. Thank you so much, Paula. And now I want to introduce you to Lisa Pence, who actually is working in a job that was through My Employment Options. Lisa worked for a number of years as an inventory specialist prior to her diagnosis. She eventually stopped working and went on Social Security. She attempted to start her own business, which did not quite work out for her for a variety of reasons. And eventually she obtained a work-from-home position through My Employment Options and has been doing that now for about a year and a half. And she's here with us this evening to share her experience with home-based employment with all of you. So welcome, Lisa.
Thank you very much. My name is Lisa Pence, and I'm currently working for an international company doing customer service from my home. Like Kathy said, I worked, attempted to work at doing my own business from home to start off when I decided I was at a point where I could do some kind of work. It had to be for my own home because I am unable to drive anymore. So I was at a point where I was feeling pretty good, wanted to do something, but it had to be something from home. I got some information from Social Security about these employment networks that were opening up, and I contacted My Employment Options, and they put me through some tests, and they set up job interviews. They had job fairs. I went through the process. It wasn't an immediate, you know, I got a job. It was a process, and they set me up with a seasonal job for actually the company that I'm working for now, and it was, with training, it was probably a 2-month position. I then worked through that, and I must have done all right because when it came time the following November, when they were getting ready to do another season, I was approached by the same company to do a permanent part-time hire. I was thrilled because part-time is what I was looking for. I'm in a permanent part-time with this particular company. Was a great land. So I'm still working for that company. I'm now working in a different, with a different contract. I just completed my training, and I'm getting ready to, I should have been working actually today, but the thing is with my MS, if I don't remember to take care of me along with doing the work, I end up with things like stomach bugs and all that other stuff. I mean, working is fine, but I still have to remember that to take care of my MS. And with training, which is the way of a lot of these programs, you have to go full-time. And this being a seasonal position, this one here I'm involved with right now, it's a lot of full-time hours. And so it's not ideal, but it's only a temporary job. I should say job contract. So I'll get through it, and hopefully then we can go back down to the part-time hours, which are what I really adore. But, you know, I started off, you know, with the local rehab. I live in the state of Massachusetts, so I use their resources. And once I made up my mind that that's what I wanted to do, there's a lot of things out there available. You just have to go out and shake a lot of hands. And these people here have done a lot of the footwork. You just got to get out there and make yourself known. And I think that's it for me.
That's great, Lisa. I have a follow-up question. You said that you worked with the Office of Voc Rehab. What were they able to do for you?
Well, they put me through some tests, kind of gauged where I was as far as getting ready for a job, if I needed any skills. I have a college education. And the only thing that was against me from the beginning was the fact that I had been almost 10 years out of the workforce. So I, like you had suggested earlier, I needed some small work histories to get me going. And I had to do some little things to get started in order to get some good recommendations that were current before I could go after the bigger jobs.
Mm-hmm. So you would definitely recommend doing some kind of volunteer work or getting some kind of, you know, brush up training if that's what people think may be holding them back?
Yeah, I would think so, because when I was working full time and was diagnosed with the MS, I went kind of downhill as far as positions. The last position that I had before I finally gave up work ended up being a cashier job at a dollar store, because I had worked myself down to a part-time position because that's all I could do anymore. And it took me 3 years going before a judge and a lawyer before I could get my benefits. And that's one of the things that going through Social Security, getting an employment network and a guide through the Ticket to Work program, that's what helped me so much tackle even the thought of going back to work and the thought of even, you know, getting to a point where I might become independent with my benefits again.
Mm-hmm.
My benefits was a big worry of mine.
I'm sure it's a worry for a lot of people, and I'm sure you're not alone on that. I'm sure there are a lot of people that are listening tonight that can relate to that. So I appreciate you being candid about that.
Sure.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Is there anything else that you feel you want to share at this point, or you'll just save it for questions and answers later?
Sure, for questions and answers, that's fine.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Our final speaker for the evening is Mary Kohler. Now, Mary graduated with a BA in psychology, and she started working as a nanny, but when MS made things difficult for her to continue doing that kind of work, she turned to home-based employment and has worked at home for a few years now. She started, her first home-based job was with Arise.com, which is a large telecom company. They do roadside assistance service. And more recently, she's working with Healthcare Data Solutions. Thanks for joining us this evening, Mary.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm so happy to talk about this. I just have
You have plenty of time.
Oh, that's good. I know. I'll try to cut it short, but I'm a little bit wordy. So as Barbara said, I've worked from home for about 3.5 years, and I do love it. I truly think that even if you don't have MS or disability, I think it's the wave of the future. I think that more employers are going to realize that it's really, it doesn't cost them anything, and I'll talk about that a little bit. But after I talk about my current position, I want to share with you what I wish I would have known before I started working from home. So currently, I work for a company called Healthcare Data Solutions. And it's a large medical provider data company, basically, and they have information and data on providers across the country, doctors, dentists. It's a huge database. And so when I started there, I began by processing obituaries, and that was my job, was to take deceased doctors out of the data as soon as I could possibly get them out, because you don't want to sell active data with deceased doctors. And then they hired a new person, and I trained them on that job. And then I went on to start on a project for sanctions, doctors that had been sanctioned, basically gotten in trouble. So I went from deceased doctors to bad doctors. And so now I get to go on to a new project where I'm basically dealing with licensed doctors. It's their licensing. So I'm kind of excited about that. And one of the things that's really great about this is that they hire from within. I get to learn new jobs. I get to learn, have new responsibilities, and I'm very excited about that. So that's one thing. So just want to talk about how I got the job, and not just this job, but basically any job that I've ever had has been through contacts, either personal contacts, professional contacts. I can't stress enough how important it is to, you know, use who you know. And I am not a social person really at all. I don't have a big Rolodex. I don't have a huge circle of friends. But people show up and they really do want to help, I found. So if you let your needs know and let them know that you are looking for help or that you're looking for assistance or a connection, I find that that is really the best way. So, and that said, you know, working for Arise, I never really thought of a home-based business as something that was even an option, because I thought they were all scams. Just, you know, you see the ads in the paper, and I just thought, that's not real. But a friend of mine worked for Arise, and he said, come over and just, you know, listen to me work for a while, and just you'll see that it is actually a real job and a real paycheck. So I went over, and then he sat at his computer. He had his, you know, headphones, his phone, and he took customer service calls. And so I did see it actually is a real job. So that was kind of a relief to me, because, as I said, I had no experience with it. So with Arise, they basically it's a central company, and they contract out people. So with that, and I'm so glad, Barbara, that you mentioned about the independent contractor, because that is really what I wanted to talk about today. If I would have known all that goes on or all that is involved in being an independent contractor, I would have made a different decision and would have worked for an employer if that was an option immediately. As an independent contractor, you're responsible for all of your own equipment, your phone line, your internet, your computer. And unless you have assistance through the MS Society, that can be expensive. And then you go through training. They have training that you go through to work for different companies that they contract out with. And you don't always make it through the training. There are people that didn't make it through the class to certification. But I've found that the people who didn't make it through the class were really the people who didn't really try. So if you put forth the effort, everyone who actually took the courses seriously made it through, and that was kind of reassuring for me. So that was basically how I kind of started in that process. The one thing about the difference between working for an employer and working as an independent contractor is also if Arise schedules more people than are needed, your call volume is low, and each contract is different. But in my situation, you got paid per call per minute. So if they schedule a bunch of people, which you have no control over, you don't get as many calls, and the pay's not as much. And that might be fine for some people, but if you're really counting on an income to pay your bills, and you don't have any other source of resources, then that's a deal breaker. Or if their site is down or if they have issues, you're basically taking on all the risk, and they really don't have any risk involved in it because you're paying for everything that you're doing. So I wish that I would have known beforehand that that really is what an independent contractor is when you get into that situation. I don't know how I am on time, but
we have plenty. Yeah, 10 more minutes.
Oh, okay. Oh, perfect. Great. So those were the two things that I really wish that I would have known about, you know, the independent contractor issue. Now, I want to talk about kind of working for an employer. I currently work for, as I said, HDS, which is Healthcare Data Solutions, and it has been a great experience for me. First of all, as I said, they hire from within, which is really wonderful. They promote from within, so you can learn new things. And I, if any employers are out there, there's really no reason why you wouldn't have work-at-home employees, because just speaking from personal experience, they know where I am. You know, it's their computer that they provided with me with, and it's their monitors. They know what sites I go to. They know they provided me with the phone. They, you know, you're basically tethered more closely than if you're in an office. And your work product is a work product that there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's like either you did the job or you didn't. And I really like that because it's reassuring to me. Whether you have MS or not, if you get the work done, it's irrelevant. And it also, for the employer's point of view, you're not hiring someone on either how they look or how close they are to the office because, you know, snowstorms happen and looks can be deceiving. So really, it's to me, it's the most fair way to hire because it's, you know, they know either you did the job or you didn't. You got the job done or you didn't. And the ways that they communicate with their home-based employees, and they have offices in California and Nebraska, so, and they do have some scattered people working from home, and I don't know what the numbers are on that. So it's there's many more people that actually go into the office and work than actually work from home. But maybe you want, I don't know if you've done this, but have like employers talk about, you know, the benefits of having people work from home. So I want to go just over some of the tips and suggestions. When I first got this job, I had to take a series of tests. I was terrified of taking those tests because I thought for sure I was going to fail and I would be embarrassed. But I took the test and I did okay, so they actually did hire me. But one of the things is when I was speaking to one of the managers who was making a hiring decision, I asked him, you know, what is important in this position? Because I'm not a computer person and I work for a data company, which sounds kind of crazy. But I asked him, you know, what do I really need to know? And he said, you know, well, you're going to be working with Excel, so you need to know Excel. And you don't, if you're working from home and you think you don't have the knowledge or information, there are so many sites out there. You can go to YouTube, type in Excel, and learn everything that you need to know. Like, the internet is such a wealth of information for computer programs or anything that you need. There's no excuse for not finding it. And the fact that you can go back to your employer and say, I looked this up, I educated myself, really says a lot about you and your temperament and your ability to work from home. I think that would be a selling point in itself. So I think I covered everything that I really wanted to talk about.
Okay. Okay, Mary.
So those are the important things to me. So.
Those were great, great points. And what would you say is the most challenging thing from working from home for you?
If you're a social person, that would be a drawback. But as I mentioned before, I'm really not that social. But the thing that was amazing to me about this company, and I'm sure, you know, 90% of companies out there, because I was in the nanny world for years, and we didn't sit around on a computer all day. I mean, not that that's a bad thing, but we just didn't do it. There's, you know, Join Me, there's Link. We have meetings, there's conference calls. You can do Join Me, and you share your coworkers' monitor. You see what they're working on. They share with you. And I had no idea any of that stuff existed 2 years ago. And it's, you don't really need to be in the office. That was the thing. I know you asked for a challenge, but that was the thing that was like, I thought was going to be a challenge, like being, you know, remote. And I don't know, I pictured like, you know, the Pony Express and they're, you know, sending out a disc for me to look at. It's not realistic. It's real time.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's on the same system with, you know, Microsoft Link and Outlook. So there are so many tools that keep you in the loop and keep you basically, you know, involved and interacting with your coworkers. Now, one of the things that's MS specific for me was the physicality. You know, as a nanny, you're walking around all day, pushing stroller, doing all that. You know, you're mobile all day, and then sitting at home over time has I've noticed an impact because you sit at a desk all day, and I really wasn't used to that. So finding a way to kind of work around that, maybe you have a little timer that says, you know, get up every, you know, hour or 2 hours and walk around. Or I actually bought a little rebounder, so whenever I find my energy getting, you know, kind of lagging, I go over and I jump on the rebounder, and I jump, and it kind of gets the blood flowing and your brain, you know, active again. So just doing, knowing yourself and doing whatever you need to do is huge, because that keeps you happy and healthy.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point. And Lisa, I'm going to ask you the same question. What could you say was the most challenging thing for you in terms of home-based employment? Can you think of anything?
Trying to keep separate from what's going on in the rest of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, you still have to punch a clock doing what I do. You still have only 15-minute breaks. You still only have a half an hour for lunch. You have to make sure that you're back on time.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many other distractions. You know, it's not like you go to a lunchroom and everybody's being conscious about the time. You know, the minute I step out of my office, I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really been a challenge to make sure I get where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there.
It's a real job.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, as Lisa was saying, that's so true, because, you know, my concept of working from home was, you know, there was someone in the class, the Arise class, and she said that she just plans on watching TV while she's working. And I'm just sitting there thinking, how in the world are you going to do that? Well, she didn't make it through the training, because probably, you know, the attitude that say that probably does not really, you know, work with working from home. But it is a real job, and people count on you for your work product because it affects their work product. And
yep.
So I agree with Lisa completely.
Absolutely. Those are great points that you've both brought out. Kathy, I think we are ready for questions at this point.
Okay. Let me just remind everyone, before we start questions, though, please remember to keep your questions on the topic that is tonight, which is home-based employment. And remember that we do have a limited amount of time for questions. If you need additional assistance, we do encourage you to call 1-800-344-4867. Operator, I'll go ahead and turn it over to you for polling.
Questions.
Also, as a reminder, after the question and answer, we have a six-question survey. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions at this time, please press the number one key. Again, if you have any questions at this time, please press the number one key. Our first question is going to come from Sabrina. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
I was interested in getting more information as far as home-based business. I know one of the young ladies mentioned something about starting a home-based business. And I want to know from Paula, do they offer advice in that area when you want to start a home-based business? Would that be the same as the Ticket to Work program?
Well, thank you for that question. No, we actually, our employment network does not help with home-based businesses. That's a whole different type of specialty. But you could go to the EN directory in the Ticket to Work, choosework.net, and you could call around and you might be able to find somebody who does. But it's a tough one because it's difficult to start a home-based business, but of course not impossible. But that's just not our specialty.
Yeah, Lisa, I went through the state rehab and they hooked me up with a group that helped me write a business plan and gave me all kinds of advice. Mine didn't work out because it was going to cost too much money to get it really rolling. That was the only thing that stopped me, but I just didn't have the funding.
That's a great suggestion, the Office of Voc Rehab, and we also have a ton of resources on this. So If you email me at bmckeon, that's B-M-C-K-E-O-N, at msnyc.org, I'll be happy to share a whole list of resources that we have in terms of wanting to start a business. Thank you.
And our next question is going to come from MJ. Please go ahead.
Hi. More than a question, actually, I was trying to refer back to the lady who spoke about being an independent contractor and the tax implications associated with that. I think it's important to know that as an independent contractor, you're self-employed, and you might want to really consult a tax person about this, but you have to pay income taxes as well as self-employment taxes on a quarterly basis as well as file annually. And those self-employment taxes are essentially the same taxes that an employer would take from your regular check for Social Security and Medicare. I think that's a critical factor to consider when you're talking about self-employed home-based businesses and being an independent contractor.
I agree completely. This is Mary. And you know what? I am not a person that enjoys doing taxes or figuring all that out. It was a huge headache for me, and that was one of the things that I did kind of regret, that I wish I would have known all that's involved in that before I started. So
yeah,
thank you for pointing that out. It's a huge issue.
It's quite a serious undertaking, so definitely worth investigating before you take that on. And it's anything above, I think, $400 or $500, not a lot of money, but once you reach a certain level, you have to file basically as a self-employed independent contractor, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah. So you need to really investigate that. It's quite a serious undertaking.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Next question.
Yes, and our next question is going to come from Portia. Please go ahead.
Hi. This question would be for, I think her name is Lisa, or no, Mary. I believe it's Mary. She was the last one, and she kept saying something about Arise. That was her first job, and I'm not sure of how she was spelling that independent contractor she was working for. Is it Arise, and how did she spell that?
Okay, it's A-R-I-S-E, Arise. Like, I have arisen, it's arise.com. And they basically, the whole independent contractor issue is you are doing business with them. You are not an employee of them. So that's kind of what I was talking about, where it's all on you. Your equipment's all on you. Your expenses are all on you. And there's thousands of you out there. So it might work great for some people. For me, it wasn't an ideal situation. But if you just need to make a little bit of income and you have some resources like the computers and stuff like that you'd need, then that could be ideal for someone. For me personally, I would choose being an employee of a company 100 times over than being an independent contractor again. And you pay for the training. Like, if you sign on with a certain company, you pay for that training, and there are different classes that they have, and so you pay for the training, and you might not make it. You might make it. The majority of people make it if they put forth an effort. Anyone who actually tries makes it. But there's a lot of ifs, and there's a lot of risk, and I am a risk-averse person. I don't like sticking my neck out if I don't need to, and so for me that was uncomfortable. But, hey, if there's risky people out there and you are a go-getter, then that would work for you.
Thank you, Mary. Next question, please.
Our next question is going to come from Diane. Please go ahead.
I actually have a question on the address because I did not receive the information. It was steve.nissen,
Steve Nissen, N-I-S-S-E-N, at nmss.org. So that's steve.nissen at nmss.org. Thank you. Next question.
Our next question is going to come from Carol. Please go ahead.
If you're over 65 and you're on disability, does that, I understand that you can't be in that program, but is it the same as far as if you have income, it would affect your disability payment?
I'm not quite sure what the question is. If you're 65, you're on disability, when you reach full retirement age at 66, it just becomes retirement. It doesn't change. Social Security disability then becomes your Social Security retirement. And you don't really even notice the difference. It's just seamless. So I'm not exactly sure what your question was with relation to the home-based employment.
Miss Barbara, did you want me to get her back?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. One moment. Carol, go ahead.
Okay. So the question is, if I were working from home,
right,
is that any different whether you're over or under 66? As far as how it would affect your disability payment?
Well, if you're on disability, if you're still on disability and you haven't reached full retirement age, the rules for Social Security disability will kick in. So you'd have 9 months of trial work, et cetera. But if you're 65 and you used up 9 months of trial work, within 3 months, then you get even if you were making over the SGA, which is the amount they allow you before they cut your benefits, you still have another 3 months after that. So you'd have a full 12 months, actually, of getting your benefits before you'd be cut off, but then you'd be right into retirement. So it may not even impact you with regard to that. Paula, do you have any comment on that?
It depends upon if you've used your trial work period or not.
Right.
You probably don't need to worry, because if you're that close to retirement, there has to be an SGA decision that's made. And sometimes it's made within 3 months after that trial work period ends, and sometimes it takes 11 months. And so because you're so close to retirement age, I don't think it would be a problem for you. And I probably wouldn't worry. I'd just go to work if you're physically able to do it.
Thank you. Okay, next question, please.
Yes, our next question is going to come from Nishika. Please go ahead.
My concern is that with my current disability benefits, how would that affect my beginning to or taking on a new job?
It sounds like you're concerned about what the effect would be on your benefits in terms of work, and that is actually another call that we did, and we have information on that. It's a whole little bit of an explanation that I'd rather not go into now, so if you give us, you could either email Steve Nissen, that I just gave the email address out to, steve.nissen@nmss.org, or call the main number that we gave out earlier, and get in touch with one of us at the chapter, and we can send you a whole bunch of information on how your benefits would be affected if you started working. Next question, please.
Our next question is going to come from Justin. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I was wondering if there is a general equipment base, like do I need a PC and Apple? It might be a ridiculous question. I was just wondering.
Not a ridiculous question. Paula, do you want to handle that one?
Oh, I'd be more than happy to. Yes, most employers do require that you have your own computer. Some of them will supply the computer, but usually it's after they've already tested your computer. And most of the time, these employers will not allow Macs at all. So if you only have a Mac, our company wouldn't take you on, because I've only got one company that allows Macs. So that's a problem. Generally speaking, you need to have a computer that's less than 6 years old. I do not recommend Windows 8. I still have some employers that have problems with their Windows 8 and their applications, because each employer has their own application where you go to their website to take their calls, and you have to be able to download their software onto your computer. So each one of the employers has different specs. The things that we look for, you know, you're going to have a very minimum of 1 gigahertz RAM and 1 gigahertz memory. That, I think there's one company out there that requires it. If you're going to buy a computer, you know, get at least 3 gig of RAM and 3 gig at least 2 gig of each of processor and RAM. I also need you to know that a lot of times people get disqualified because of their internet. You do have to have that direct connect to your internet. It can't be satellite. It can't be DirecTV. It has to be high-speed internet. Your computer has to be directly attached to the internet connection. It can't go through a wireless modem. We got somebody already, got him all the way into our program and finally got to him, and it turns out his upload and download speeds weren't very good, and that's because he had his computer was in a room and he couldn't move the computer to a different room, and we couldn't help him. So I'd like to tell people about that. So those are my you know, computer specs.
Great. Terrific. Thank you for that, Paula.
Our next question is going to come from Renee. Please go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
I've been an administrative assistant for over 20 years, and I've been diagnosed for about 20 also. My fatigue, I'm living in New York City, mm-hmm. Living in the suburbs, traveling to the city, and the fatigue is overwhelming to me nowadays. It's like the MS is taking over me, and I'm really looking into staying home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the same field that I'm in because I enjoy still being an administrative, and I want to know, how is that working from home? Is that something I should look at, or something I should look at something else as a career working from home?
Okay. I think that's going to require a longer conversation, and since you're in New York City and I'm in New York City, we should have a longer talk about this off the call. Because, you know, I'd have to know a little bit more about you to find out whether that is the best situation for you, what you're currently doing in your current job, what, you know, what you've been doing to maybe look at accommodations. You know, we did talk about that, exploring working from home with your current job and so on. I can be reached at 212-453-3218. And I'm going to give you that again. It's 212-453-3218. That's Barbara McKeon. And I am at the New York City chapter. So, Renee, please give me a call or email me, and we can talk about this a little bit more. Because there's a lot that goes into making that decision. And it's going to be more than just a minute of my responding to you here.
I can add just one thing, that it's not the most common work-at-home position that we find out there. I'm sure it'll be, like if you came to me and said, I just want a job being an administrative assistant working at home, I don't have an employer right off the bat that I could send you to. That's just from my perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. I know that there are virtual assistants that are out there, but you know, again, it's not the easiest thing to find home-based employment in general. I think there are probably more customer service call center type jobs out there for home-based employment than the other types of jobs. That's not to say that these others aren't out there, but you know, they're not as easy to find. So we could talk a little more about your specific circumstances, and I could give you some suggestions on how to possibly explore that a little bit further. Great. Can we take the next question, please?
Our next question is going to come from Alice. Please go ahead.
Yes. I'd like to know about, do I have to have a Schedule A for any of these home-based employers?
No. Schedule A is for federal jobs. Unless the job's a federal job, then that might be the case. But, Paula, do you work with any federal employers?
We do work with some federal employers.
Okay.
But then we would help prepare a Schedule A for you if you went through our employment network. We can do that for you.
Okay. But just so that you know, Schedule A is only for federal jobs. So unless it's a federal job, then you wouldn't need a Schedule A. Next question, please.
Our next question is going to come from Tara. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering, how can you find more? Is there like a link? Because I never received any information. I didn't get it. So is there like a link that shows like more home-based employment?
We can send you the materials. I'm not sure, you know, why you didn't get the materials. I know they were sent out. Sometimes they go into spam, and so you should check your spam anytime you're getting materials for one of our programs. But in the meantime, if you give Steve a shout-out at steve.nissen@nmss.org, he can send them to you, and all the links for the different places that you can explore positions of this nature are in that document. Paula, did you have anything else that you might suggest?
Not really. I mean, I thought your references earlier were excellent. It's out there. There's a lot of work at home jobs out there.
Rat Race Rebellion is a big website.
Yeah, we like Rat Race Rebellion also.
But but there are plenty of links in the documents that we did send out, so I'd like you to be able to get those. So please try to get in touch with us or get in touch with your chapter and ask them for the resources, because they should have sent them out. Next question, please.
Our next question is going to come from Gia. Gina, please go ahead.
Hello. Actually, it's Gian, G-I-A-N. Hello?
I couldn't. Can you ask your question again, please?
Yes, I just wanted to correct the name. It's Gian, G-I-A-N. And my question is regarding the starting point for home-based employment. If you're looking for a part-time position and you just haven't done home-based employment, you have some education behind you, maybe a significant amount, and you have some Microsoft Office skills, is it always a requirement that it cannot be a wireless connection, even if it's a stable wireless connection, to do some home-based employment? And is Rat Race Rebellion the best starting point?
This is Paula. The problem with the wireless connections are your upload and download speeds, and they won't allow you to connect to the employer software or program that they're using. So you will not pass any of the voice requirement tests, that's what they call them, to see if your information is transmitting correctly if you're using a wireless connection, even if it's stable.
Thank you for that, Paula.
Some of them also have security issues that they won't allow you to use wireless.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Good points. I think we have time for one more question.
Okay, our next question is going to come from Melanie. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was just going to ask, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm a registered nurse. I have a degree in psychology. I've done legal nurse consulting, and I'm working on my master's right now. Are there any, like, healthcare positions, psychological disability studies positions, anything like that?
This is Paula. We are seeing more and more nursing positions for work at home. If you're on the ticket to work and you're a nurse, I want to talk to you because I think that we should be able to place you. There's more and more and more that I'm seeing for work at home healthcare positions. And I just want to, I know there's people there thinking, well, I want to get into medical billing and coding, and that I would caution against. Unless you've already worked in the field, and if you have worked in the field, if you get the certifications, the HIM, those kinds of certifications would help you find a work-at-home job in that field. So, but the healthcare profession, I think we're going to be seeing more and more, and we've got some relationships going with some healthcare companies, and I'm looking forward to that expanding.
This is Mary. Is one of the reasons that you would discourage the medical billing and coding because of outsourcing, or is it just there's just not a market for it? Or
if you don't already have experience in the medical doing that on site, they won't hire you.
Okay.
You usually like to have 2 years of on site having done that. They just won't hire you.
It's good to know.
Okay, thank you.
I think we are a little past the hour. Kathy, do you want to wrap up?
Certainly. Just like to take a moment to thank our speakers for their presentations this evening. We appreciate your comments. Also remind you that the call was recorded and it will be available after the series. If you have additional questions, remember to call 1-800-344-4867. That concludes our call for this evening. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to the operator, who's going to ask 6 polling questions. Please stay on the line to complete the survey. But thank you all, and have a great evening.
Okay. Our first polling question for the evening is, are you currently working? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Thank you. Polling has closed for this question. Give me one moment while I tally the results. Okay. And our second polling question for this evening is, how would you rate the speakers? Press 1 for excellent, press 2 for good, press 3 for fair, and press 4 for poor. Polling has closed for this question. Give me one moment while I tally the results. And our third question for this evening is, how would you rate the content of the program? Press 1 for excellent, press 2 for good, press 3 for fair, and press 4 for poor. Polling has closed for this question. Give me one moment while I tally the results. And our fourth polling question for this evening is, as a result of this teleconference, I have a better understanding of the pros and cons of home-based employment. Press 1 for agree. Press 2 for agree somewhat, and press 3 for disagree. Polling has closed for this question. Give me one moment as I tally the results. One moment. And our fifth polling question for this evening, it is, as a result of this teleconference, I learned I learned of resources that I can use to help with home-based employment. Press 1 for agree. Press 2 for agree somewhat, and press 3 for disagree. Thank you. Polling has closed for this question. Give me one moment while I tally the results. And ladies and gentlemen, the final question for this evening is, as a result of this teleconference, I feel I have tools and information to determine if working from home is right for me. Press 1 for agree. Press 2 for agree somewhat, and press 3 for disagree. Polling has closed for this question. Give me one moment to tally the results. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes the polling of the call. Do you have anything else you would like to go over, moderators?
No, I don't believe so.
All set.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining this conference. I hope you have a wonderful evening, and you may all disconnect.
Thank you.